This morning, thanks to God, I just want to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity to come before you with a few words, or thus said the Lord. This morning, I'll be coming out of Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 25, which reads as following. They came to Bethany, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eye and put his hand on him, Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. This morning, thanks to God, just put a title to those passages. It would be touched by Jesus. Touched by Jesus. We see years ago, if a person was unfortunate to have cataracts growing on their eyes, there was doomed to be blindness. Fortunately, today, cataract surgery is readily available and frequently performed to prevent blindness. Eyes implants are becoming a greater normal or help for those vision problems to see again. So you see, thanks to God, the touch by Jesus healed this blind man. He also, the touch of Jesus will heal you. We see in Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the leper are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead arise up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." So you see, thanks to God, the New Testament recorded at least 7 healing of the blind by Jesus. It is interesting to watch the action of Jesus healing these blind men. We see in Matthew 9, 27 through 30, 2 blind men are healed as Jesus touched their eyes. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, a blind and deaf man is healed. In Mark chapter 10, verse 52, a blind Bartholomew healed. In John chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus used saliva and mud to heal. So here in our text today, thanks to God, this man is 3 times touched by Jesus to bring him by a gradual healing rather than an instantaneous. We zoom in on the healing of sight today, but also 3 touches of Jesus. Although Pastor has said that this year vision will be 2020 vision of clear vision. So when we get touched by Jesus, we definitely have a clear vision on what he wants us to do, on what way he wants to lead us. All we have to do is just see that vision.
Amen.
We see with the touch of Jesus, Jesus took him by the hand in verse 23, which was a touch of encouragement. He put his hand on him. That was a touch of enlightenment. And hands on his eye was a touch of enablement. You see, thanks to God, when Jesus does something, he does it right. See, the touch of encouragement we see, the scripture tells us, they perhaps this man, friends or family, brought him to Jesus. It is the concept of being a stretched bearer. These people had enough faith and action to know that if they could get to Jesus, he could be healed. The scripture said they begged, which is a strong desire, Jesus to touch this man. Do we believe as such? Do we believe that Jesus is able to touch our eyes to be open that we may see the concern of the Spirit? Do we believe Jesus can still heal and change the life of these people? After the request to touch the eyes of the blind man, Jesus touched him with the touch of encouragement. He took the man by the hand and led him outside the town. Why? When Jesus used the heel on the spot, would he take this man out of the town of Bethany? No, but yes, he did do it. You see, thanks to God, when we are blinded, that is Satan. Our mind is confused, our eyes is closed, our ears is plugged up because we have listened to Satan. But when God, we believe and get touched by God, our eyes come open. We see in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 to 21, it said, then he began to unbridle the city in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which are done in you have been done to Tarshish and Sidon, they will have repent long ago in sackcloth and ashes. See, you see, the city had become so hard-skinned to be touched by Jesus. Are we today, if our heart been hardened by something that's not in the Word of God, is our heart become hardened because of the society? If our heart become hardened because of the things in our lifestyle, thanks to God, we have to check, give our heart a heart check, because the church of God, the church of Jesus, will reveal what is going on. See, you see that the sad part about this is which remain true today, many in and out of the kingdom have hardened their heart toward the true church of Jesus. That is why our altars are empty with no prayer for healing. God is moving and working among us to touch us, only if you believe. This man, thanks to friend, would be the recipient of a touch of encouragement. As Jesus took this man by the hand to lead him, I believe it was a personal touch, tender and loving touch. Jesus knows you personally. He knows your need. He knows your ministry. He ministers to your individual need. So Jesus knew this man. He knew that personal touch. He would touch us also with a personal touch. He's gentle and he is loving. He is a loving God and he loves us. So he knows each and every one of us. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows what we are thinking, thanks to God. So that personal touch that he gave to this man, he gives to you also. You see that our church, towns, family, friends, strangers, all in need of a touch from us in the most personal way we can touch them. Jesus showed us how. Jesus showed an interest in this man. I'm sure this man, perhaps lonely and discouraged, had to live in darkness, same as the world today. Now, all attention for the moment was being given to him. Are we tending to our neighbor, our family, our friends, our co-workers? Are we tending most of all to ourselves, to the Word of God? You see, saints of God, it's not about us. It is about God. You see, the world want you to know that we are interested in them. People really want to know that God loves them, and they are looking for the love through you and me. Jesus took the time to touch this man. He also took the time to touch you. So also, with that touch, it was a long-suffering touch. No hurry. Jesus wasn't in a hurry to heal this man. You see, while we live in a busy world, Jesus always has time for us. No matter what's going on, we might be too busy to pray. We might be too busy to thank God. We might be sometimes too busy to even eat. But God is never too busy for us. You see, hope was born as Jesus took the time for this man. God is so understanding with us. We live in an impatient generation. Everything is a hurry-up, microwave type society that we live in. We stand at the microwave and scream, "Hurry up, microwave. Come on, microwave. Let's go, microwave. I got things to do." But yet and still, God is not in a hurry. And with people, we have even less patience. Not only with the microwave, but I just thank God that he had brought me a mighty long ways. Because my patience was that short. Tammy will tell you, man, I had very, very short views of patience. Dealing with people, and especially silly people, just people that's contrary to the word, and yes, out there. I had no patience whatsoever to just deal with them and stuff. My few were very, very short. But thank God that he changed me. Amen. He was long-suffering for me. So I thank him. So we need to thank God for his patience, his long-suffering. You see, the people we are less patient, but God, Jesus was positioned to bring a hopeful encouragement to this man. We must do the same. We must be patient with ourselves, with other people, with all our dealing. Also, we see that with this church of encouragement, it was a powerful church. He had the power to meet. See, Jesus has the powers to meet all our need. I believe as Jesus took the man by the hand, the man knew that this church was one of power. We see that it could bring healing to him. Jesus' touch was powerful in that it was a relieving power. Relieving, as Jesus seemed to say, "Allow me to touch you." He is saying that to us today, saints of God. Allow me to touch you. Allow me to let my word to fall on fertile ground. Do not harden your heart. Let me relieve you of that hardened heart. Also, with that powerful touch was sensitivity. Jesus would touch the man in his private world. You see, when Jesus touched this man, he took him outside. He wasn't in a crowd. So sometimes, thanks to God, we have to go to our private world, our own little world, to pray and to ask God to touch me. Like on last time I spoke, I need a word. I need a word. But I had to go to my prayer closet and ask God, "I need a word." And God was telling me all the time, "You got a word. I've been telling you, you have a word." So we just have to take our time out of our busy life to realize that the sensitivity of Jesus and his church. Amen. Also, we see with that church, will we let Jesus touch us to encourage us, to relieve us, even if it's called for us to give up our very sensitive and private part of our life. Sometimes, thanks to God, we are so busy, it's all about me, that we don't want God's help till something serious happen. When something serious happens, then we say, "Oh God, can you? Will you?" We start begging and pleading. But yet and still, all the time, God is so sensitive. He is so sensitive with his church that we don't even realize that we have been touched. So, thanks to God, we see that be assured that Jesus' church is a church of encouragement to your life. Also, with that church, it was a church of enlightenment. We see in 8 in chapter 8, verse 23 and 24, it is interesting that Jesus spit on the man's eyes and then placed his hand on them. Now, Jesus did not need to spit to heal, but the man did. The man needed to feel that something was being done to him. Sometimes, thanks to God, we are so blind about Satan and sit in our ways that we need a church to make us realize that something is different in our life is going on. We got to realize that we is going down the wrong path and have to turn around. Sometimes, you know, I have a child and everything that's contrary to your belief, contrary to the word of God, but yet and still, you still have that passion for him, that compassion for him. That's what God has for us, that compassion for us. So we have to wait and wait on God and have that personal touch. You see in James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute or daily food, and one of you said to them, depart in peace, be warm and fear, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So you see, thanks to God, this man needed to be touched physically to be healed from physical blindness. We need to be touched spiritually to be healed from spiritual blindness. But also, for spiritual healing, our infirmity has the tendency to harden us. Jesus was healing inside and out. This man, when Jesus touched you, not only the inside will be healed, but your outside will be healed. So we see, thanks to God, this second touch, as Jesus asked if he could see, enlighten the man to a world of vision. The man saw men as walking trees. Little the man could see, but not see clearly. So are we seeing, but not seeing clearly? Are we really, we hear the word, we listen to the word, but are we truly understanding the word? So we have to ask ourselves, are we seeing clearly? Have Jesus really, you know, have Jesus, have we accept the touch of Jesus? Yes. See, we are too much like this man. We see things, but not always clearly in our life. But that's why we have to take time to make sure that it is the word. So anything that's going on in your life, saints of God, there's a scripture somewhere in the word that will testify to your situation. So all you have to do is just ask God, I need a touch from you, God. We see, I'm not going to be for you long, I'm almost finished. It is a terrible thing not to be able to see, but it is even more terrible to be able to see but do not have a vision. You can see things of God, but you might not have a vision. You might not have that understanding what God wants you to do or have planned for you to do. So you see things of God. Do we have enlightenment to a vision? When we come to Jesus to be touched, we begin to see men's and issue clearer than ever before. Jesus' church is an enlightening church. So you see, saints of God, we got to keep focus on that vision, on not just a vision, but a clear vision for 2020. Yes. Also, with that church, it was a church of enablement. You see, seeing men as trees is never good enough. Jesus touched the man for a third time. He was three times touched to bring about enablement. This touch enabled him to see clearly his world, friends, and family. Not only was the man enabled to see, But he was enabled to walk around, live life without the constant need of help from others. You see, saints of God, when we clearly see, we ain't got to just keep calling the pastor, "Pastor, I need prayer." You can pray for yourself. You can lay hands on yourself. You can ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and give you the understanding for yourself. You ain't just got to rely on pastor or rely on others. Yes, it's good for others to, you ask others to pray because, well, there's unity, there's strength. But you ain't just got to rely just on pastor, just weighing down, and everything. But never realizing that pastor need prayer himself.
Amen.
You see, this not only this man was able to see, Jesus' touch will help free us from the constant dependence on people or things. So we got to get a mentality attitude that stop depending on others, but depending on the word. Not only was this man unable to see, we should be like Little Red Robin Hood. What big eyes you have, the better to see you with, my dear. So we should have that mentality as Little Red Riding Hood, as Wolf told Little Red Riding Hood. What big eyes that you have. Today, we need those big eyes, the better to see men's as men's and issues as issues. Because in this society today, we do have issues. There are so many issues, things that political correct that they don't want you to do. They don't want you to say. In a few years, if this keep on going, you can't even live in your own house without them telling you how to live in your own house. So we got to be careful, saints of God, and get those big eyes and see the issues of men and the issue of this world. See, the world sees nothing wrong with the evil that surrounds us, but we do, or we should, I should say. More than ever, we need the touch and an enabling to see clearly. Thanks to God, so let's ask the Lord for enabling eyes. We see also in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, 17, it said, "And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And this servant said to him, I'll ask my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eye that he may see that the world, that the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and then, and behold, the mountain was full of horse and chariot of fire all around Elijah." So you see, saints of God, when we pray, God will open your eyes. He would open your eyes to spirit discernment, that you will see things that your natural eyes could not see.
Amen.
He will be able to see things in the spirit that concerning you. All you have to do is let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. Because like I said, sometimes we got so comfortable in our comfortable zone and used to doing things our own way that we ignore what the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But we have to be careful and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide him, because that is his duty,
yes,
to lead and guide and teach and anoint us.
Thank you.
So we have to be touched by the Holy Spirit and anointed by the Holy Spirit. We can see clearly in the spirit realm.
Amen.
Sometimes, like I said, you know, it had been said before. Sometimes, you know, you get that unction and everything going down the road, you might have to detour.
Yeah.
But that's a detour keeping you from going into a mishap.
Yeah.
But if you've been disobedient and just keep on going, "Wait, man, I'm in a hurry, I got to go, I got to make it, I'm late for work, I'm late for this, I'm late for the appointment," and get there, speeding, whatever, speed trap, you're going to be even later.
That's
right. So you might as well take that detour, listen to the Holy Spirit as he leads you, and detour for that 5 minutes and be safe and be on time than to be 20, 30 minutes late or never arrive at all. Yes. So you see, the church of encouragement allows us to see clearly, consistent, continually. See, the Lord, as Israel did, we got to be able to minister in this able when we fail to see clearly. We are individual and a church are disabled when all we see is the opportunity rather than the work of God going on. Look for what God is doing. The church and enablement allow us to see very, very clearly. In closing, saints of God, like I said, I'm not going to be before you long. In closing, it is a risk to see the church from Jesus that will encourage, enlighten, and enable us. Why? Because we must change. This man who Jesus healed was never the same again. So when Jesus touched us, you will see a change in your life. The man came to Jesus with the help of others. Today, seeking a friend to help bring you into the presence of Jesus. They begged Jesus to touch the man. Come and intercede for someone who needs to be touched by Jesus. This man was alone with Jesus. Come to the altar and get alone with Jesus. Not only this altar, but the altar in your home, wherever you need to be. Come and get touched by Jesus. Amen.
You're here with me. You stay the same. Your love remains here in my heart. So close, I believe you're holding me now in your hands. I belong.
Praise the Lord. I think I got a vision singing that song. You know, these eyes that we look out of, these windows that we look out of, is not the real picture. I know Bob Cohan, Bob, you getting ready to go on the mission field in when? March, April? When are you going out? Bob's going out March 25th. He's going to see things out there. He's going to see things that we're not going to see on the mission field. He's going to see people that just to have, we got air conditioning, we got all these luxuries that these people, they never seen a air conditioning. He's going into places where if they've got food, they're happy. But that touch, see, he's taking Jesus, Bob's taking Jesus to touch them. See, it don't have to be money. Money's not the thing. It's the touch of Jesus. Now, money's not bad, guys. But it's that touch of Jesus that can transform a life. I was one of those that God touched and transformed my life, Jim. And it's through good preaching and that anointed word. Jesus, man, he made a difference when he showed up. Man, he touched and he transformed lives because he was God loving people, meeting them where they were. Man, if Jesus has got to touch me 10 times, Lord, touch me. You know, to get my life straightened out. You need more than one touch from the anointing in your life to get things straightened out. It doesn't mean God has left. He doesn't have the power. We just need to stay. What's that song talking about? Right by your side. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get out here and do something that sound, it might be good, but if God hadn't anointed you and blessed you to do it, there's danger out there. Amen. Because God can't violate his word. Amen. And he don't appoint us to do everything. Jesus didn't come and do everything that Peter did, that James did, that John did. Jesus was fishing, but he was fishing for souls. And he had to get Peter to understand fishing is good. That's how you made your income. But in your latter days, you're going to be crucified. You're going to be doing what I'm doing. People are going to be persecuting you, spitting on you, hating you because you're following Jesus. We're living in that same age, guys. It ain't pretty, but you know what? I'm trusting Jesus. You got to decide, no matter what, I'm sticking with Jesus. I don't care how dark it gets. Jesus is in me, and I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I just want to take you briefly, what we kind of talked a little bit Wednesday night about seeing, about Jesus. And I'll just take you to John 5, because as Reed was sharing that those red hots, and he said, Red Riding Hood. See, red got worked into this message. I like what's written in red in my Bible. You want a red hot message? Let Jesus touch you. Amen. The words on this book is a person. Marilyn Hickey said, this is God speaking to you. You want God to speak? You want a word? Get in the book. Get in the book and let the book get in you. And don't let nobody steal it from you. This is my God. This is my God. This is my God. That's what Paul said. Read the red and do what he said. That's a word from God. Read the red and do what it says. You want to live a blessed life? Read the red. Amen. Red's good. John 5. This is a story about Jesus touching people. It says, Jesus, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel, not this angel here, but an angel, he'd have been there with Jesus. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first, say first. First, I like what God says. First be last be first. God don't see first and last. He sees people. After the stirring of the water, the first one got made well of whatever disease he or she had. And a certain man was there 38 years waiting for the moving of the water. Bob's going to some people who's been waiting to hear the gospel probably 38 years. Bob, I think you're getting ready. Go down there and stir up the water. Touch somebody. You're going to go touch some people for Jesus, Bob. Go stir the water. You are. You got living water on the inside of you. Bob's getting ready to go pour out the water. Amen. Streams of living water. Who said we can't live stream without cameras? Come on now. Bob's going to live stream Jesus to wherever he puts his feet. And he's going to open up his mouth. Amen. He's going to fill some people with the love of God. When Jesus saw him, see, there's your vision. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been. Wait a minute. He knew already been in that position. He knew something. He knew he'd already been there a long time. And he didn't ask him, how long you been in this position? How long you been in this place of sickness? Doctor going to ask you, how long you been sick, right? You go to the doctor, that's okay. Jesus don't ask that. Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered. He gave the wrong answer, didn't he? Jesus said, yes, Jesus, right? Do you want $100 million? Have you got to pray about that? Yes, Lord. I can do a lot with it. Do you want to be, hey, if you're poor and you're healthy, money's good, right? That's your message from Jesus. Remember the rich young ruler? Sell all you got. But Lord, I got a lot. But you don't love me. Do you love Jesus? But Lord, I have no man to put me into the water, the pool, when it's stirred up. And while I'm coming, another steps down before me. We always got a circumstance. What's around us? Jesus said to him, didn't ask him, didn't debate it anymore. Rise up, take your bed, and walk. Keep the gospel simple. Bob, do you want to be made whole? Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. Immediately. He took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath day. The Jews, therefore, said to him who was cured, is it the Sabbath? Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed? What you doing healed on the Sabbath day? Go back down there in that place and get sick again. That's religion. Religion's just stupid. Religion don't make sense. He answered them, he who made me well said, take up your bed and walk. And they asked him, who is this man that said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know that it was Jesus who had withdrawn, because Jesus left there. Jesus healed people and didn't stick around to say, beat his chest, I did this. No, Jesus was God. And he humbled himself. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Now here, sin no more. See, this is a problem. Some sickness can be linked to sin, right? So when Jesus said, now sin no more, undoubtedly, I think that man knew what got him in that position for 38 years. Because if you don't get offended, you get blessed. He might have let somebody got him offended 38 years ago. And now that thing's just festered into sick man, sickness, disease. Jesus said, now sin no more, lest the worst thing. Man, he'd been sick for 38 years. I don't want nothing double that. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus, and they'll persecute you too. Go around laying your hands on the sick. Some people ain't going to like you. Jesus loves me. He wants you to touch people. Amen. That's what Reed's telling us this morning. Jesus answered them, but for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day, Bob. And Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. You're getting a vision of this? Jesus ain't working alone. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because now they're saying the Father's working the works. Not only had he broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, and this is what I want to get to, verily, verily, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Of himself. But what he sees, here's our vision, what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and we are now sons and daughters of God. You are loved. For the Son, Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these. You mad at me now because I healed a sick man? It's going to get worse because I'm going to heal more. Amen. So don't let the world determine what you're going to do for Jesus. Don't let the world determine what you're going to do at work. You might be, they got a salary cap. What's a salary cap? Take that thing and wear it on your, put it on your head and say, Jesus, he's my provider. Don't let the world put a salary cap on you. We got some people that's on Social Security in here. That's okay. That's something you put in. I see it as an investment. But don't you limit yourself to Social Security. That's not God's way. That was man's system. God's got a higher system. It's called give. Give. Amen. Give and expect God to cause other people, not, and he uses the government too. That's people too, but that's not, he's not limited to the government. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Red hot. Jesus was red hot. He got hotter when he heard that religious people say, you can't heal a people on a Sabbath day. What do you think it is? Who you think you are? Jesus said, you tell me this and I'll tell you that. I like when they give Jesus something. John's baptism, was that from heaven or was that from man? Oh no, we gotta think about that. Wait a minute, Jesus, we gotta have a little discussion. We gotta have a meeting on that. And they come back, we'll say, well, if we say from heaven, we have to admit that's God, you know, but if we say from man, the people. John had a lot of people. We don't know. Jesus said, I don't tell you either where I get this authority. The world, you don't have to answer to the world for what God does for you. God has blessed me, and he's continued to bless me. And I thank him for his grace and his favor. And you need to tell somebody. Go tell. Remember the demoniac that got set free? He wanted to go follow Jesus, angel. He wanted to join me. He wanted to help. That's good. Man, Jesus set me free from all these devils. I got set free from some devils. Unclean spirits. Didn't know they had a hold on me, but Jesus did. And read, he touched me. I was just listening to Terrence Rose. I looked him up on YouTube, and he married a lady that the Full Businessmen International is where he got linked up. And I'm not sure if he's still there, but I saw him, Terrence Rose, and that was the man that was at church, West A Church of God. And I went down to the front because he said, anybody want to come down to the front? And I already got born again, but I hadn't experienced the power of the red hot touch of Jesus yet. He came down and he didn't say nothing special. He just said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. When he said in the name of Jesus, Sherry said there was a yell that came out of her that she ain't heard before. And that wasn't me. That was the devil. Devils. And I was down on the floor, angel, down on that pretty carpet they had up there and stayed down there for a while. I got up. No longer did I cuss and no longer did I have a desire to drink. God took my cusser. Took my desire to drink, but then filled me with his Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't know speaking in tongues, but I was filled that night with the Holy Ghost. I was drunk. Me and Sherry said she got up. She saw me laying over there. She decided she's going to get up. She started walking back. She had to go hit the seat. We ain't never experienced the power of God before. Your flesh can't handle it. The devil can't handle the red hot Jesus. Man, he's red hot. He touched me that night. It was the touch. Reed, it was that touch that Terrence Rose had encountered when he gave his life to Jesus and got touched. And you don't have to know a lot to do a lot. Because I heard him. He didn't know a lot. He just knew he'd been touched and went out the next day, went to the grocery store. This is Terrence Rose giving his testimony. Said he went to the grocery store, Tammy, and knew he just had to tell people about this Jesus. He was in the mafia. This guy was tough, man. He was in the mafia. He was an alcoholic, Terrence Rose. But he got touched in a service by Jesus and didn't know what he had, but he knew he had to get it out. And he said he just went into the grocery store and he bought him a can of beans. He would go up there and he would wait to get a can of beans because he was looking for somebody to witness to. And he said he was up there and he bought it and he heard this couple over here. They were a married couple and they was having an argument. He just said, that ain't right. So he went up there and he said, I don't know what you're arguing about, but I know that Jesus has the answer. And he said, now we're all going to grab hands and we're going to pray and I'm going to pray and Jesus is going to take care of the problem. And he said, he grabbed her hands. He just got saved. He didn't know nothing about the Bible. got them, was holding her hands and praying. They fell out under the power of God. He didn't know how to pray, but he just said, Jesus will take care of the problem. And he did. And he said, after that, people just started coming to him. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? It started a chain reaction. Why? He just got touched by Jesus, by the power of God. And that same man was invited to Church of God, and I got invited, and I went there, and God touched me and started a chain reaction in my life. It was just one step after another. Man, one touch, then another touch, Reed, then another touch. You need a touch every day of his glory and his presence and his power in your life. Amen. You need to be filled. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. See, I'm outpouring this morning, but when I get done here, I got to go and I got to pray the rest of the week, and I got to study and I got to listen to the word to fill myself back up so I can overflow. I didn't know what Reed had today. I didn't know how long he was going to go, but I'm ready. I'm ready to jump right in when he says, okay, that's it. See, he had a red hot message. Darius is a part of this message this morning. We ain't supposed to, he's not eating in the sanctuary. We got red hots. We got candy canes. But see, if you don't judge people and love people, you'll see God in it. And he'll take a message and make it powerful. Because he says, God will say what it needs to be said, how it needs to be said. Amen. Red hot touch from Jesus. And see, what Jesus said was, I do nothing of myself except the Father show it to me. And that's what we talked about Wednesday night. There was a lot of sick people at that. We could say at a church, that was a porch. They were hanging out waiting for the moving of the water. Here comes Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to all these sick people. But one man he went to. Why? Why? But Jesus, couldn't you just come down here in Concord and just clear out all? What's the name of that hospital up there, Jim? It's changed so many times. Cabarrus, what is it? Atrium. Why can't he just, Angel, why can't Jesus just go through there and just get everybody healed? Everybody, clear it out. Because he can't. He's the Son of God. But he says, I only do what I see the Father. Can't go to the bar. Jesus can't go into the bar and get everybody saved. Why? Because not everybody wants to be saved. They want to be drunk. And Jesus said, just let them be drunk. But there's some that are wanting a change. This man was wanting a change, but he was waiting on a man. He showed up. The man with the plan showed up. Jesus. Where did he get the plan? From the Father. So see, I could pray all night, pray in tongues all night, come to church, and if somebody wants deliverance, deliverance is here. But unless they want to be delivered, I can go speak all I want to on them. They're not going to be delivered. Because unless the Father see it, he knows their hearts. I don't. But this anointing, this power, the Holy Spirit will show you things. Jesus knew. He said he knew. He knew this is the guy. He knew today he was going to be made well. He knew. See, so he didn't have a shadow of a doubt. He knew this guy when he would go. He didn't have to ask him. He just said, will you be made whole? The guy, he said, take up your bed and walk. He knew that. He knew he would receive that simple word. And then Jesus had to leave that place. All the other sick, he loved them. Jesus loved every one of them. He loves us all the same. But he only had instructions from the Father to go, this one person right here is ready to be made whole today, Jesus. Go take him. Give him all that power you have. Release it to him. And he got made well. So this is where we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody, like Reed said, we all can get healed off of the word. Faith in the word of God. But that anointing only flows as the Spirit wills. That's the gifts of the Spirit. They flow as the Spirit wills. According to your will. Really? According to your will. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if you got faith to be made whole, that will flow right to you. Through the gift, through whatever you need. See, I needed to be delivered that night. I didn't know nothing about deliverance, but I wanted Jesus. I wanted a change. I was sick and I didn't want to be sick no more. I was lost and I didn't want to be lost no more. I was broken, I didn't want to be broke no more. I'm talking about broke physically, I'm talking about broke mentally because of sin and bondage and shame and guilt. I didn't know how to get set free. I just know I wanted to be free, and God sent me a man. Now, there was other people that got free, but that was my freedom that night. If Jesus came for any person, he came for me and my wife that night, because I went down there and I had my mother-in-law's Bible, because I had been reading it. It pays to read the Word of God. I've been reading it and believing it, and I took it with me because I knew it was my, I'm going down here now. Anything going to happen, they're going to have to do according to this Word. I mean, I honored this Word. I had it in my hand and went down there. That was my wife's mama's Bible. I seen her pass away. I seen her leave this earth. She couldn't speak to me, but the Holy Ghost let me know that she's in heaven. And I went down there because I was not treating her daughter right. And I came under conviction, got born again in my house. And then I wanted to go to church, took my Bible church. Went that night, and when he touched me, red hot Jesus changed my life. Call of God to preach. And then Jim trimmed me on that, pruned me on that. I had a long way. I wasn't all there yet, was I, Jim? I was a work in progress. I remember going. I remember going to listen to Jim, and that's when they had them big old fuzzy things on the microphone. They had the big foam on it. And I remember he had out there, he says, anybody want to come up here? It was Wednesday night. Anybody like to testify? Go up there. Jim, I want to testify. I think I told him, the Lord's called me to preach, and I told him before, but God had healed me of a migraine headache. So I testified about, I prayed in the name of Jesus, and God took my headache away. To me, that was a big thing back then. And I testified. Jesus, the name and the power of Jesus, I remember that. I had an opportunity and I wanted to witness about Jesus. That wasn't the only thing he touched. He's still working on me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your touch.